Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm young, but I'm not going to back down from anyone. I'm just going to play hard. No, who knows?
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kobe Bean.
Kobe, thank you, man.
Dear Kobe, thank you.
Thank you for your passion, your commitment, and dedication to basketball.
Thank you for showing us that number 24 isn't just the number on your jersey, but the amount of hours in a day that you have to devote to the game to be the best.
Thank you for giving and giving and giving.
Thank you for pushing through when your body says no, but your heart says yes.
Thank you for the games that you refuse to lose and the ones you always seem destined to win.
Thank you for your endless drive.
For showing us that even on your worst day, there's nothing else to do but push harder.
For showing us there's no such thing as magic, but only hard work.
Thank you for playing the game the way it was meant to be played.
Thank you for teaching us to believe in ourselves, even when nobody else did.
For 20 years, you gave our game all you had, and we are eternally grateful.
Thank you for being you, competitor supreme.
Thank you for loving the game of basketball.
And we welcome you in on a Monday morning here on Sports Radio 610 on Payne and Pendergast. Sean Pendergast alongside original Houston Texan Seth Payne. And as you can tell, courtesy of ESPN, that montage that just ran, as I'm sure all of you have heard by now, Kobe Bryant passing away yesterday in a helicopter crash at the age of 41. As we welcome you in here on a Monday and in what will be a show, probably a pretty unique show in terms of us going virtually wall-to-wall with the singular topic of the life of Kobe Bryant and the passing of Kobe Bryant and your reaction to it. And this will certainly be a day where we open up the phones and allow you guys to chime in. I had a chance to do that last night nationally on CBS Sports Radio, and the range of emotions was very, very interesting on the show. As Kobe lived a life where in basketball he was either loved him or you hated him, depending on if you rooted against him. I think he was one of those players that sort of transcended just the team that he was on, and that he had a lot of fans around the league that were Kobe fans as opposed to being Laker fans. Certainly the Laker Nation all in lockstep in terms of their support for Kobe throughout the years. And then in retirement, the focus on his family, his business ventures, philanthropy, and things like that. There's a lot to dig into with Kobe Bryant. Unfortunately, today we are doing that because of his passing away yesterday. As I welcome in my co-host here, Seth Payne. Seth, how are you on this Monday morning?
It's an interesting question because it's it's a strange, it's just such an unexpected occurrence, obviously, and it always is when somebody passes away. But I think the biggest thing about Kobe Bryant was that he always projected such strength, and it really took a while. I don't know where you were when you found out. My brother had just texted me Kobe Bryant, just the one word, as I was getting in the car to drive to an airport yesterday. So I didn't really think much of it. I figured there was some kind of story. I don't know, maybe he had said something controversial or anything. And then an hour later, I turned my phone back on to a torrent of texts and tweets. And I think a lot of people had the same reaction, which was, your initial response, well, that's wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you see so many fake reports or things they get wrong in the internet these days that it just didn't seem possible. So, and I don't know, it was maybe a full 2 or 3 hours before it really absorbed and before I accepted that's what had happened. Just earth-shattering, earth-shaking news, obviously.
Yeah. So here, let's lay out what the exact news is, because it seemed to change so much yesterday. There were about a half dozen people that got killed off by the news cycle yesterday that are actually still with us after this crash, because of just some of the things that all of a sudden get dropped into the Twitter sphere and they become actual news, even when they're incorrect. Here is the news report of what happened yesterday, that a helicopter carrying Kobe Bryant and eight other passengers that crashed into a hillside in Southern California on Sunday was in a climbing left turn about 2,400 feet high before it dove to the ground. That's a person familiar with the preliminary investigative information. The source who spoke on the condition of anonymity told ESPN the pilot had only moments before contact. The pilot had only moments before contacting air controllers to say that he had begun a climb to, quote, go above the layer of clouds present. And if you watched the news yesterday, it was a really foggy day in Southern California. You don't know how much that factored into it. But the chopper went down around 9:06 Pacific time. The first 911 call reporting the crash was received about 40 minutes later. And the news, if I remember correctly, Seth, TMZ tweeted it, I don't know, probably around lunchtime here, sometime between noon and 1 here. And it touched off all kinds of speculation as to who else could be on the helicopter. It's been confirmed that one of the folks on the helicopter actually has ties to Houston, John Altobelli, who is was a baseball coach at a college in Southern California. He and his wife and daughter were on that plane along with Kobe and Kobe's daughter Gianna, and they were that to me is the part that hits home for me. Look, I did not grow up rooting for Kobe. I did not spend my adulthood rooting for Kobe. But I really liked the Kobe that we started to get to know after he retired, that was focused on his kids, his family, his daughter's burgeoning basketball career and things like that. And that to me is among the many, many, many sad layers to this whole thing. They were on their way to a basketball practice.
That, and you know, there's the images of him and his daughter, you know, some of which we had seen and some more of which have emerged, is exactly what you're saying. It's just a completely different image of him has emerged since he retired, including just the fact that how many people in women's basketball loved him because he was so involved with women's basketball through his daughters and really cared about it. And he said that's what charged him up more than anything right now is women's basketball. So just a whole lot of people from areas that you didn't even realize. And, you know, the amazing thing for Kobe with me is, when he went into filmmaking, I think immediately your first reaction has to be, here's another athlete who thinks he's going to be a filmmaker, and all right, we'll see how this goes. And then he won an Oscar. Like, very few athletes, even if they're successful in business afterwards, very few can actually maybe completely transfer that same drive and everything else that they had into other venues afterwards and achieve success. And he looked like he was capable of doing that and more, and was really branching out and becoming a completely different person than anybody realized he even was, you know, or at least he was emerging publicly as that person that he already was, but nobody really knew, perhaps, because he always kept himself kind of guarded. You know, he was so driven and he was so focused. He's up working on his mountain in his home gym on his game all the time, almost in isolation. Yep. That it wasn't until after he was done playing that people really started to get a feel for who he was as a person.
This occurred on a morning after LeBron James had passed him on the all-time scoring list. Kobe's last tweet came on Saturday night, where he basically congratulated LeBron James and paid respects to him for passing him on the all-time scoring list, continuing to move the game forward. At King James, much respect, my brother, with the flexing emoji and then hashtag 33644, which I'm assuming is the point total that LeBron James had to pass or had to surpass in order to overtake Kobe on the scoring chart. It's ironic, Seth, because we may, maybe not on this show, but certainly on the show I was doing last night, the national show, Kobe and LeBron probably wouldn't have been a big topic on that show just because LeBron had passed him the night before, even if Kobe hadn't died in a helicopter crash. Those are the two torchbearers for this century of basketball in the 2000s, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. And for it to happen on the night after LeBron passed him is almost eerie, really.
And that was another one of the minor sub-stories of this story, was the fact that this happened as six or eight basketball games were being played yesterday, or about to be played in the NBA, including the Houston Rockets, where we'll hear from all the various players, but it was just a very strange atmosphere for those guys who are all very distracted as they played their games.
No doubt. We'll get into some of the reaction around the league and around basketball, around the world, really, on the passing of Kobe Bryant yesterday at the age of 41. We will hear from We'll hear from coaches and players, audio of folks reacting to it throughout the morning here on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, including up next one of the tributes that teams paid to Kobe Bryant yesterday. We'll hear that as it unfolded, just an amazing tribute to Kobe Bryant yesterday during some of those basketball games Seth was just talking about.
Yeah, and no, I was pretty somber. It was before the game, you know, with that devastating news. It's just, it shook guys a lot. You know, obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and Vanessa and the kids, and just an unbelievable tragedy.
Your own thoughts of having,
I mean, it's just like with everybody. He's one of the greatest players ever, an unbelievable competitor. Earned everything, every accolade he got, he earned. He just kept coming at you, and there won't be many like him, that's for sure.
That's Mike D'Antoni, head coach of the Rockets, yesterday afternoon, I should say, following the game. That was one of the most bizarre parts of this whole thing. Seth, you alluded to it as we jump in here on a Monday, Payne and Pendergast, less than 24 hours removed from the death of Kobe Bryant. That was one of the more bizarre parts of this whole thing yesterday, was as the news of this was breaking, there were several NBA games getting ready to tip off on a Sunday afternoon, including the Rockets and the Nuggets, and some of the videos of the players learning about the passing of Kobe Bryant, it was tough to watch people find out about essentially the death of a loved one. You know, whether guys knew him personally or grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant, to see that happen at different games, there was a college basketball game where there's an up-close video of Tom Izzo telling Cassius Winston after the game that Kobe Bryant, you could see him whispering it to him, and you could read Cassius Winston's lips like, Kobe? And then Izzo goes, yeah, he goes, Bryant? And so there was a lot of reaction. I think there's a lot of folks wondering if the game should have been played yesterday. That's certainly a topic that maybe we can touch on at some point.
Yeah, I don't. I had no hot take on that yesterday, yeah. And I can understand it happened so close to when these games are beginning, and you know, maybe NBA players can weigh in on that at some other point. I guess there's no blueprint for how you're supposed to handle a situation like this.
Yeah,
and Mike D'Antoni referenced, you know, the fact that these guys play through a lot of pretty nasty stuff all the time that might not necessarily be huge headlines, but the all the players, I think in all the games, took a 24-second violation.
Not all the games. They, like, for example, they didn't in the Rockets game. The first I saw was the Toronto-San Antonio game in San Antonio, and we'll hear the audio here. The two teams deciding each to take a 24-second violation on their first possession as a tribute to number 24, Kobe Bryant.
They have decided that whoever wins the tip, and in this case Toronto, they are going to let the shot clock run out because of the number 24 to honor Kobe Bryant. Fitting. Appropriate. As Fred VanVleet holding on to it, and the crowd recognizing what this means.
All right, so that was the Toronto-San Antonio game. San Antonio then went down and took a 24-second violation at their end of the floor. The other tribute that I saw, Seth, was in the Memphis-Phoenix game. Similarly, although they decided to pay tribute to both of Kobe's jersey numbers, the Grizzlies took a 24-second violation on their first possession. Phoenix took an 8-second violation. They slowly brought the ball up the floor and didn't bring it past half court in the 8 seconds you're allotted to do that. So they paid tribute to both of Kobe's jersey numbers with that. Apparently Devin Booker, who's Phoenix's star player, was in tears while it was going on. A lot of that going on yesterday.
Yeah, Mark Cuban announced that they're retiring the number 24.
Correct.
The Mavericks.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest sense you get from this is, in the basketball community especially, obviously everybody's going to have their own relationship with a celebrity, but I think in the basketball community especially, just how all-encompassing Kobe was as a player and what the effect he had on everybody else across really two different generations of players, really, from the late 90s through the 2000 and mid-teens. It was just, he was always there, and he was always one of the biggest things from the time he was a teenager. And It's hard for a lot of these guys who kind of modeled their lives in a lot of ways after Kobe. And I think a lot of the way a lot of young athletes modeled the kind of drive and determination that they would want. I think they modeled themselves after Kobe. I don't know if there's another player other than maybe Michael Jordan who's known as much for his complete and total fixation on winning. Tom Brady, perhaps. You know,
Jerry Rice is a guy who comes to mind.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
maybe complete fixation on just the work that goes
right,
into
right,
it.
Right, yeah, just this legendary work ethic.
Right.
I think it's, you know, more than just sneaker commercials and more than just speeches here and there. They just absolutely lived it. And a lot of people aspire to that because of Kobe Bryant.
Here's Greg Popovich, who, of course, as we just heard, his team was one of the teams taking an intentional 24-second violation. Greg Popovich on the passing of Kobe Bryant.
Good game, tough loss, who cares? Most importantly, appreciate you all letting the locker room be tonight. Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
He was the global icon. I know that we talk a lot about global athletes, especially in basketball. It's the most global, to me, the most global in terms of marketing, at least. I know baseball is a very international sport. Football is more of an American sport, obviously. Basketball is the sport that I think gets labeled as the global sport, and I think rightfully so. And Kobe was the guy. There are global stars in the NBA for sure. I mean, LeBron and Michael Jordan, obviously. Kobe was a guy who almost set out to be global from the time he was a kid, though, and in part because of his upbringing. His dad was a professional basketball player, was in the NBA for a while, played for the Rockets for a little bit. Kobe actually bumped around the summit when he was a little kid for a little while, as his dad, Joe Bryant, was a Houston Rocket. But later on in his career, he played overseas, so Kobe learned Spanish. Kobe learned Italian. The seeds of the global star that became Kobe Bryant began at a very, very young age.
And he speaks Italian fluently. Right. People love him over in Italy.
Right.
He had a place. His family still has a place over there in Italy. And it's going to reach out tendrils into a lot of different areas of society. And especially too, I think one of the coolest things to watch over the last couple of years has been to watch him be so passionately involved with women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Another thing that people wouldn't have necessarily predicted. If you think about it, it makes logical sense. He's got four daughters. They're into sports and everything. But he just threw himself into that. And you watch the effect he had on some of these young women's basketball players, the NCAA 2As and everything.
Yep.
When they'd get dapped by Kobe, what a big deal it was.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was. It's just really amazing how many different lives he touched.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610, the day after the passing of Kobe Bryant. 713-572-4610 if you want to react to it this morning here on Sports Radio 610.
So the other part about yesterday that was so strange and weird was all the initial inaccuracies of various reports. Oof. Some of it floating around on the internet. There was apparently, I didn't know that Rick Fox was rumored to have been in the plane until after I saw the news reports clarifying that Rick Fox was not in the plane. There were some reports that said that none of Kobe's family members were in the plane. There was another report that said all four of his daughters were in the plane. That was all awful nonetheless, which is the fact of the matter is 9 people died, including one of his daughters. It's just an incredibly shock out of the blue piece of news to get on a Sunday afternoon. And that's just us as people that are going about living our lives. For NBA players that are right about to start a game, like the Houston Rockets, where Austin Rivers was very emotional after the game. Everybody that spoke was very emotional after the game. You can imagine Austin Rivers, who's been in the game his whole life and had been bumping up against Kobe from the time he was a young child.
Yeah.
This is like losing a family member in a lot of ways.
It is, yeah. The reaction, not just Austin Rivers, but Tyson Chandler. Seth, I don't know if you saw Tyson Chandler sitting on the bench in the Rockets game.
Yeah.
The game is going on, and Tyson Chandler is just staring straight ahead, just shaking his head with this incredibly sad look on his face. it did get me wondering what players were thinking about that game even going on. Again, as you and I said, Seth, it's a fairly complex decision to make in the moment when the news comes down literally as a bunch of games are about to tip off. The season's already into late January, so now you're talking about the logistics. Think about it. The Rockets are in Denver.
Right.
They're not going back to Denver anytime soon. So you've got to there is a business to run, and you do need to take that into account as well about the games being played.
I remember the only thing that I could relate to in terms of something like that, obviously it was 9/11 when I was a player, but we canceled the games that week. There was time to make that decision. There was time to think about that. We actually met as a team that next day and kind of just confirmed what the New York teams had already told the rest of the league. The New York team said, look, there's no way in hell we're playing these games.
Right.
But I think the other one was, I can remember when I was a sophomore in high school, I think, when Desert Storm started. Mm-hmm. And they announced right before I was at a wrestling match, and we were out about to listen to the national anthem, and they announced that we'd gone to war, which is a heavy thing for a young kid. It's got friends and family in the military and everything. I think there are a lot of people in that were pretty preoccupied during that match, and as I'm sure there were all over America. It's a strange, surreal environment to be playing a game when something is weighing so heavily on your mind and is just so much different than anything you were expecting to hear.
Yeah, this text message kind of captures a little bit how I felt yesterday, Seth, about this Kobe thing. Text message says, I never liked Kobe, but he was an all-time great, and I think he was a bridge between the old school of thought and the new school of thought. And I won't go as far as say I never liked Kobe. I respected Kobe, but I never rooted for Kobe Bryant. I was very transparent last night on my show about that. I think there's probably a lot of people who are treating this thing today as if they rooted for Kobe their whole life. That was not me. I rooted against Kobe as a player, but I you couldn't help but respect his work ethic, the level of success that he achieved. And I really did respect and like what he had become in retirement. You know, the fact that he took a keen interest in trying to make up for lost time with his family, took a keen interest in his daughter Gianna's basketball career, 13 years old. She was the daughter who unfortunately passed away along with Kobe on that plane, on the helicopter yesterday. What he had become business-wise, you alluded to the Academy Award that he won for the movie short. Here is a bit of audio, Kobe Bryant from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, not all that long ago, talking about his daughter Gianna.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does for sure.
She does.
Like, I mean, this kid, man.
She's wouldn't like, that be great,
dude, man? I'm telling you, the best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, "Hey, you gotta have a boy. You and V gotta have a boy, man. You have somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy." She's like, "Oi, I got this." You know, boy for that. I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
Yeah. Plus, special shout out to who the hell goes up to somebody in front of his daughter and says, "Hey, you got to have a boy."
Fans.
That's true. Yeah, I guess. What the hell?
It's just in a lot of people say dumb things when they meet athletes.
That's right. Yeah. But and I think the video of him and Gia sitting courtside at a game from about a month ago, it was such a cool video.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad that got out there a month ago, where I think that in a lot of ways maybe made some people realize and take notice of, wow, how involved he is in his daughter's lives, that he was sitting courtside explaining something to her. And she had that same, like, at one point, she had that same focused look on her. You know when Kobe would, like, kind of, like, almost do that Zoolander look, you know, where he's, like, extremely focused?
Yeah.
She did that same thing with her lips, and you could just see, oh, this, she is Kobe. Like, and like, when he says that about her, you could see that in her eyes, that she was this kind of, had that same kind of fighter in her.
If you go watch that video, Seth, and you watch the exchange, I don't read lips, so I can't see what was being said. But at some point in that exchange, they're sitting courtside at what I believe was probably a Laker game. And they're just the two of them are talking basketball. His 13-year-old daughter and Kobe are having a conversation about basketball, whereas Seth just said, Kobe's clearly doing some coaching, but she said something to him where he agreed with it. You know what I mean? Like, she said I don't know what she said, but she said something to him, and his reaction was really, really cool. If you have kids and you realize that the points where they become self-aware about certain things, whether it's when they're very young and just be, you know, just formulating their social skills, or when they become older and they actually become intelligent about different topics that intrigue you. And Kobe had a moment like that in that video where she said something to him and he was nodding and agreeing with her. Like, she clearly said something where she was grasping whatever it was he was teaching her. And it was a really cool moment. It was a sad moment to obviously watch yesterday with the news that was going on. But you're spot on, Seth. Like, that was an indicator, I think, of just what that relationship was like, especially with that particular daughter who was the one who had embraced basketball the way that he'd embraced basketball.
Right. And that was, you know, one of the ways that he had branched out was that he had the Mamba Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks. That's where they were headed for a basketball game scheduled at noon on Sunday. She was expected to play in the game, his daughter Gianna was, and Bryant was expected to coach, according to Lady Mavericks team director Evelyn Morales.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the show. I have so many thoughts on this thing, man. I was at the game. I was thinking about this yesterday with Kobe. I'm in the car. I'm thinking, okay, what were Kobe, aside from the championships, what were his greatest basketball accomplishments? And I started thinking, because I was at the game a couple of months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, where James Harden had scored 60 in three quarters. It was against the Atlanta Hawks. They won the game by like 50. And I remember I was at the game. I was there with our friend Wallace, and we started talking about, do you think Harden can get 81? And 81, of course, was the number that Kobe got in that game back in 2006 against the Toronto Raptors. And it dawned on me at that point, like, Kobe's 81 was basically this generation's Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game. Like, that's what the target had become from a scoring standpoint for NBA players. It was no longer 100 points in Wilt Chamberlain, maybe because that might be unachievable these days in the NBA, although with a three-pointer, you never know. But I think more so, it wasn't because Wilt's 100 was harder to achieve. I think it was because it was Kobe. Mm-hmm. And the players nowadays, Kobe was the man for so many of those guys. Kobe was the guy who so many of them patterned their game after. Kobe's 81 became an iconic number, and still is, and probably even more so now with his passing, an iconic number in NBA lore.
Well, and I think earlier when somebody said Kobe was kind of that passage from the old school to the new age of basketball, in so many ways, there'll never be another player quite like Kobe, because he'll have been the last guy that was allowed to just take on that image of the guy that was going to do it all by himself.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Which is... it wouldn't be allowed now. Like, it would be coached out of him, or it would be analytics out of him.
Analytics would squash what Kobe Bryant was.
Where he was allowed to be the guy that said, nope, this is me today, it's going to be all me. And now Harden does that at times too, but Harden is an extremely efficient player most of the time. And it's just a completely different, you know, I don't even want to get into a discussion about comparing those two as players. But Kobe... And he's somebody that Lakers fans, to a person, would tell you, nah, you just don't get it. You start trying to make some analytical argument about Kobe and how maybe he wasn't this or he wasn't that. Like, no, 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 no. I don't hear it. You don't even get it. And when the Lakers gave him that last big contract, which was, from a business standpoint, not the smart thing to do, Lakers fans, even really intelligent Lakers fans who knew what they were talking about, would say, no, 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 Seth, shut up. You don't get it. You know, like, you don't even get it. It's fine if it's a gold watch. You don't get it. And I learned a long time ago to accept that and just say, you know what, you're right. I don't know if I'll ever truly appreciate how Lakers fans felt about Kobe and what he meant to them. It's just a very unique relationship, and I think in a lot of ways it's different even than Chicago's relationship with Michael Jordan. It's just, it's not better, it's not worse, it's just unique. There's nothing else like it that I've seen.
All right, 713-572-4610. We will take your phone calls today. Kobe Bryant passing away yesterday in a helicopter crash at the age of 41. Let's go to Fletcher. Fletcher, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. I love sports. I love all sports, but basketball is kind of my wheelhouse. I coached basketball for 23 years, and you know, you have all these guys that you sometimes as a coach you point to and stuff, and there's certain things about them that you point at, and I just think that Kobe's drive and desire to win and not putting up with teammates that don't have that about them and all those kind of things are memorable. But to really be honest, the thing that I just can't quit thinking about is his family
And so I just hope they're taken care of emotionally and spiritually and all that kind of stuff. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Fletcher. Appreciate the phone call. 713-572-4610. Seth, I got a lot of that last night, that type of emotion on my show last night on CBS Sports Radio from all over the country. I got some Southern California calls, but I got a call from a guy in Minnesota who, Kobe meant so much to him. Kobe's work ethic was something he was able to help. Kobe helped instill that kind of thing in his kids. It gave someone to point to. In terms of hard work and things like that.
God, and because I was flying yesterday and, dang it, Fletcher, you're going to get me now. I saw a group of, parents and teenage children traveling to probably to some tournament or of some sort or something, but they looked like they were basketball players. And I couldn't help but think of this. This is exactly what was going on. Like it's obviously it was glitzy. They're in Kobe Bryant's helicopter, but they're like any other group of kids heading on a bus somewhere. Some of these were complete families. Some of them were a father and a daughter, and there are families that are ripped apart by this. And they were on their way to doing something really good and something as a family. And that's what's really hitting a lot of people right now.
No doubt. I think I had Brian Geltziler on my show last night on CBS Sports Radio. I think people know Brian. He's been on this station a bunch of times before. And he laid out kind of the whole helicopter aspect of this. He said that Kobe getting into that helicopter, I don't know if a lot of people know this. I think a lot of times for regular people, you hear that somebody's in a helicopter and they think it's this special occasion where they spent 10 grand to take a helicopter ride somewhere. What I didn't know is that Kobe lived in Newport Beach. His family's home was in Newport Beach. And obviously he worked at the Staples Center in downtown LA. If you've ever been to Southern California, you need to take a half day vacation to get from Newport Beach to LA, to Staples Center, to downtown Los Angeles in the middle of the day when Kobe would be going there. So this was a helicopter that Kobe owned. And he used this helicopter the same way some of you in your car taking your kids to school. That's how Kobe got into that helicopter. He got into that thing virtually every day to go places. That's how he got around Southern California. So they got in that helicopter yesterday morning the same way they got in their car to go, again, obviously the way a very wealthy person would do it, but with the same mentality that all of you who have kids who have taken them to practice probably got into your car to take your kids to practice yesterday on a Sunday morning. And that's where they were on their way to. So this was something that was very routine for him to get into this helicopter. And obviously yesterday, the worst thing that could possibly happened with that whole thing. But I didn't know that was the case. When I first heard the story, it's incredible how much of the rest of the story you color in your brain when you hear it. So I colored that in to think, man, that must have been like, was it her birthday or something that they were?
Well, because the initial reports too, you couldn't tell. The initial reports were that the helicopter had circled LA several times.
Yes.
So it wasn't clear whether it was because it was in distress or if it was a sightseeing tour or whatever it might be, and it might have been, who knows, a combo deal, because there were people, John Altobelli, who has ties to the University of Houston.
Yeah.
He was the baseball coach, was there with his wife and daughter.
Yeah. Played at
Christina Mauser, who's one of the coaches. There were nine people on board, and it was just so. Kobe has three daughters and his wife that survive, and one a newborn. And Fletcher, who's on before, getting very emotional, and understandably so, said he hoped that they're taken care of. By all appearances, it looks like Kobe was smart with his money.
I think his
family's going to be just fine. I think that Kobe had done very well for himself, obviously on the basketball court, but had grown businesses above and beyond that. So at the very least, they'll be fine.
I think that's part of his legacy. He was a tremendously intelligent business person. I heard the story yesterday of his investment in Body Armor, the sports drink. He invested $6 million in Body Armor a few years ago. Coca-Cola bought it for $200 million. Yeah. He made a boatload on that. He's got shoe contracts.
And I don't mean to make it only about the money. Obviously, there's a whole lot other. Are they going to be
first thing
okay?
that popped into my
think,
head?
Well, but
said,
you know, and Kobe's family is also very. I think they're. if there's one thing that those girls will have for the rest of their lives, it's going to be a whole lot of love from a whole lot of Lakers
fans. Yeah.
You know, I think in Southern California, I would imagine in a certain way, I'm guessing a lot of Lakers fans will feel like they need to take up for those daughters and almost to adopt them, so to speak.
Yeah, 713-572-4610. I don't know if a lot of Texan fans know this, but Kobe Bryant actually came and visited the Houston Texans in the preseason this year. They kept it kind of on the down low, but when he was coming in here, I don't think they wanted there to be a circus that Kobe Bryant was in town. But the team brought Kobe Bryant in to speak to the players. If you're wondering how Kobe transcends across different sports, not just basketball, how he transcends across the lines of other sports, know that the Texans brought him in to speak to the team to talk about just his mentality and what Kobe was all about. As you can imagine, social media that night blew up with players getting pictures with Kobe. There are a lot of these football players who grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant. Deshaun Watson was at the Pro Bowl yesterday. This news about Kobe Bryant came down right about the time that the Pro Bowl was kicking off yesterday afternoon in Orlando. Here is Deshaun Watson's reaction to the news about Kobe Bryant.
I don't even really have words for it. I mean, it was heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. And for us to, you know, find out in the locker room before we came out, a lot of guys were just very emotional. And just to be able to, you know, get to know Kobe a couple months ago. He came down to Houston, and now with his loss and his family, prayers all out to his family and friends. And I mean, it's just terrible news.
That was a big deal when he came and spoke to the team.
Yeah, I talked to Dylan because Dylan Cole was a huge Kobe fan, and I talked to him about it afterwards. And yeah, it was. And he had also spoken to the Chargers this year, and then Kobe did this kind of low key. Would go in and people would have him come in and speak to their teams. And I think probably if you had to make a list of the top five athletes, if you're a coach trying to get your team ready, and coaches are always trying to figure out a way to motivate and how to, you know what I think? Sometimes, unfortunately, coaches think that they're going to be able to instill something in a player that just needs to either be there or isn't there. Kobe just had something that nobody's going to get to as close as Kobe was as a natural competitiveness, you know, to the point where it created interpersonal issues at times because he was so driven. And nobody shies away from talking about that. I don't think that was just all part of what he was. It was kind of that creative destruction that you get. And Phil Jackson was just a master at manipulating it. You know, Phil Jackson knew and understood, look, Kobe's a different kind of guy that's so driven and so competitive that there will be drama, but you got to embrace that drama. And it's just, he was just such a unique individual and just such a driving force in a way that you might try to emulate, but I think you just got to be born with whatever it was that he had.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Hutch. Once in on the conversation here. Hutch, you're on Sports Radio 610. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I've just watched so many clips and videos and things on Facebook, but I think one that really caught my attention was Kobe was being, I think it was Jim Gray was interviewing him on his last game, and Kobe made the statement. He said, you know, obviously I've been blessed with a lot of talent along with many other things, you know, a beautiful family and life. But he said, I've always practiced as if I had none. And, you know, that was his deal, was he just was humble, kind, hardworking. He was the model of not just an athlete, but just a person. So I'm getting Fletcherized, but I just want to say that. I thought that was a very telling quote that really summed it up for me. So. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
You too, Hutch. We appreciate it. I think, Seth, a lot of the reaction with this with the Kobe news, I can speak for myself at least, is it is a reminder, especially if you have kids. It's a reminder of the importance of interacting with them, of hugging them, whatever the case may be. I think that's when we hear the emotion in these callers' voices. I do think, I don't want to speak for them, but I think some of it is the fandom of Kobe, but I think some of it's just, this is it. This is as stark a reminder as you get that you can leave the house any morning, and yesterday was Kobe's day. Like, it was just, it's a random thing we're living here, man, you know?
And I think too that for whatever it is, you know, people say about what daughters do to you when you have a daughter, how it softens you in a good way, I think. It's whatever that is, and however much truth there is to that, it certainly seems that way with Kobe, that you just saw a different side of him with his daughters.
Yeah.
And I think that in a lot of ways is probably where it's – I think with any great athlete, let's think of some of the athletes that you've hated as – like the sports hate that you've hated to compete against. Mm-hmm. And then after they retire over time, obviously that softens.
100%. You realize how important having a villain is in your sports rooting life. Yeah. Quite
I guess,
honestly.
You know, but I guess what I would say is that I don't know if it's necessarily happened with Karl Malone that same way, where I felt a different, I feel differently about Kobe since he retired than maybe I would have felt about Karl Malone since he retired. And it's just, there's no plan behind it or anything. It's just the way that it worked out. And if there is a silver lining in anything, I think for a lot of people, it's kind of cool that you got to see a different side of Kobe from when he was beating your team or when you were competing against them and all you had were the sports thoughts.
That's right.
Like it's good. And it's probably a good reminder too, especially maybe in our business and our industry and a lot of people that listen to our show. It's a reminder, kind of a little bit of a heat check on your emotions. That, we are talking about humans here.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it is, life is short, yep. and sometimes you take things a little too far.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.